Hello, and welcome to Talking in Shul, a roundtable podcast. I'm your host, Tamar Fox, and I've got Zahava Sadler joining us from Toronto. Hi, Zahava.
Hey, Tamar.
And Mimi Lewis is joining us from Somerville, Mass. Hi, Mimi.
Hello.
This is one of our final episodes of Talking in Shul, and so we're going to use this episode to pull the curtain back on what it's been like to make this podcast, what we've learned, and what we're going to miss when the podcast ends. So the way that we're going to do it is we're each going to have about 15 minutes where we're in the hot seat, and the others of us will ask questions about our experiences, and then we'll move on to the next. So, Zahava, you are up first.
Okay.
I am especially interested in, I know because I'm friends with both of you, how much our lives have collectively changed. But I'm really curious what your understanding of this project was when we started it, and how the experience has panned out relative to that. Like, is this what you thought it would be? And if not, what did you think it would be? And what is it? Or what has it been?
Well, I didn't really know either of you when we began. I think I'd met Mimi once, maybe. Mm-hmm. And Tamar not at all before the first time we met to record. And our original producer, shout out to David Svi Kalman, when he reached out, and he was the one who convened us as a trio, the way he explained it to me was in two ways. One, by reference to the Slate Gabfest podcast, so this sort of roundtable of three people discussing issues of the day. And two, what he said was, and this was true at the time, that the Jewish podcasts that were out there were very much by professional Jews, rabbis and teachers. They were generally Torah teaching oriented, and that what he wished there was there are all these great Shabbat table conversations happening, not among professionals, but around, you know, informed, committed lay people having like fun, rich conversations about Jewish stuff in their lives and communities and in the world. And that there's a whole universe of people who don't have access to that conversation. And that was how it was presented to me as an idea. And that really spoke to me initially, the idea that, you know, I've been at those Shabbat tables thousands of times, and that spoke a lot more to the like experience, the day-to-day experience of being a Jewish person in community, and that's not how people in the world of podcasts were encountering Judaism. And so that was the original idea, and I liked it as I understood it. And also that, you know, the three of us were going to be people who came from pretty different Jewish backgrounds, and hopefully that would make for a richer and more multifaceted conversation. I think that over time, it's come to depend more heavily on the fact that we just like enjoy talking to each other and find lots of overlapping things interesting than, you know, any kind of box checking about representing the orthodox point of view from my seat or whatever it is. And also, as I've gotten older, deeper into my career, had kids, my Shabbat table conversations, I think, are more oriented around day-to-day life in my city and around the what's going on with my kids, and is constantly interrupted by my kids. And I don't actually have a lot of this style of Shabbat table conversation anymore. And I really like that that's still a part of my life via this podcast, and something that I will miss.
So Hava, I'm curious how, if at all, your feelings have evolved about sharing personal things on the podcast. I seem to recall you doing a fair amount of self-editing at the beginning. Am I remembering correctly?
Yeah, I think I was more nervous earlier on. Some of that I think, may have been that I didn't have any sense of who our audience was going to be. And over time, as I've gotten at least some vibes, you know, people who've come up and said, oh, I listened to the podcast and this really spoke to me. Just having a sense of who's listening when you talk really helps. But also, because my Jewish life is so intertwined with other people in my shul or with family members, I've always also been hesitant about what sharing for myself means about sharing on behalf of other people. And so that's something that I've been conscious of and careful about, even as I think I've gotten more open about my own stuff. I think also sometimes I was worried early on about like professional repercussions in a way. Like I was earlier in my career, there are things that touch on political and policy issues since I work in public policy. And I think I was more worried about that early on. But even so, like there's stuff, you know, about health things that have happened in my life in the interim that I haven't wanted to foreground in the podcast. You know, there are still boundaries that I want to draw there. But I think that that's been interesting across the board, because I've often felt like you each, especially early, but even now, I think might be a little more open than I am about some of the personal stuff. And, you know, I mean, I think there are things that you both know about me personally because I've shared them offline. Whereas I think Mimi, for instance, I found out about your family's history with conversion via the podcast. That's not something that everybody would necessarily share in a quasi-public forum. And that was an early episode, I think. And so I think those are choices that it's a conversation. You're making them really fast in the moment. And so I don't know if I've always been super consistent, but I do think I've developed more of a comfort zone around it over the years.
Kind of building on that, I'm curious, you've talked a little bit about like how your approach to what you want to share has changed, but I'm curious about what ways the show has changed you, your Jewish life or your professional life or, you know, other things. Like, where are the places where you felt the show impact you?
Well, we've been doing this for a decade. And
it's so wild.
It really is. You know how I like mark the time in my head when I try to figure out when we did our first recording? There was a segment that we recorded together that never aired during our first experimental session, where we were like, let's see how this flows, where we were recording about the upcoming Thanksgivica. Like the overlap between Thanksgiving and Hanukkah that was happening in a freak way that year. And so periodically I Google like, what year was Thanksgivica? to remember how long we've been doing this. So first of all, I think those 10 years have just coincided with a lot of personal change, right? When we started, I was in grad school and, you know, that's 3 homes in 2 cities and 3 children ago. And so just it's sometimes hard to pinpoint where the causes and effects are. That said, I think that if I went back and listened to myself in some of the earlier episodes, I think one of the things that I would feel sort of cringy about is that I think that my vantage point on Jewish community and the Jewish world was a lot smaller and kind of provincial. And, you know, I was so thoroughly within the world of Orthodox institutions in my education and, you know, to a lesser but still pretty significant extent in my college and grad school Jewish communities. And, you know, I moved on. There's like a pretty clean distinction between my Jewish life and, let's say, my workplace life or my school life. And so my life in the Jewish world had been and still mostly is very Orthodox. And I had, you know, like, Tamar, you grew up in this like very multi-denominational and in some ways trans and non-denominational set of environments. You know, I think I've referred to you as a denominational mutt when I'm explaining our various backgrounds to people. And also Mimi, right? You've been part of different, different shuls that are in fact from different denominations at different points in your life. Mm-hmm. And also worked for Jewish institutions and organizations that are multi-denominational and non-denominational. And so I had, I think in retrospect, this fairly provincial vantage point on the Jewish world. And I think that through the podcast, through talking to the two of you, through seeing what kind of topics you and our listeners found interesting, through the kinds of guests that joined us and had jobs and perspectives and projects that I think, you know, I might not have known existed or wouldn't have occurred to me were as core to people's Jewish experiences as they are. All of that, I think, has been very broadening for me, and has changed the way I think and talk about things in the Jewish world and how much I check myself about overgeneralizing from my experience. I think, you know, or having to use language that is more accessible to a broader audience has changed the way I talk about Jewish things offline too. And I think also just in the same way that like I try to volunteer to give a class at my shul once or twice a year because it will force me to do some Jewish learning that I just might not get to otherwise to prepare something. I think in the same way, I think of myself as so saturated in Jewish life that I don't necessarily seek out Jewish media, right? Stories like news articles, movies and TV shows and books that are centered on Jewish topics. And the experience of doing that over and over with you all for the podcast has also exposed me to a whole range of Jewish stuff that I just probably wouldn't have sought out otherwise. And so just all of those things have really enriched the way I think about what constitutes my Jewish life. And so I'm really grateful for that.
I am a thing that I remember. I'm glad that you talked about like the very beginning of the podcast as the very first question, which wasn't particularly what I had planned on, but that's perfect. We had not met before we started recording, which is also kind of funny because now I feel so close to both of you. But also I remember like right away Zahava being like, Zahava talks in like complete paragraphs with like a topic sentence and three supporting sentences. Like it was so intimidating at first, but it's so great. I just I agree, these conversations have been such a light. So
Tamara,
it's so fun to hear about it.
I thought for sure you were going to throw in the biggest news alert we got about Zahava when we first started the podcast, which was that you had never made challah before.
That is true. And it's
some real
bananas. I know.
I thought you were not serious at first. I was like, that can't possibly be true.
And then Tamar invited me over to make challah at her house.
Yeah.
That was my first. Together. I think I had like braided challah before, but like making the dough actually from scratch, my first experience was in Tamar's kitchen in Philly.
Amazing. So glad I could be there for that important first milestone for you, Zahava.
And then at some point in the later years of the podcast, you endorsed the Modern Jewish Baker Cookbook by Shannon Sarna, and that has become the challah recipe that I use.
Same. That's the one that I use these days now, although I have now also doctored it a little bit, but it's a great challah recipe. And you have even made your own challah endorsements. Like from you, I learned to make the dough, braid it, and then freeze it before letting it do the second rise, which
yes.
is a great hack. Okay, well, you are now out of the hot seat. Mimi, I hope you have a cold tush because it's about to get hot. Zahava, do you want to kick it off?
Sure. So, maybe I talked a little bit about, you know, what I might find cringeworthy if I went back to the beginning. I'm wondering if you think back on things that you've said over the years at the podcast, is there anything that has specifically come back around, either as something that people quote back to you that they remember, or something that you recall and wish you'd said differently or you wouldn't stand by, or things that you remember and say, yeah, that saying that out loud really distilled it for me, and that's still how I think about it. Like, what do you go back to when you think back on some of the things that you've said over the years?
First of all, I find a lot, I cringe a lot when I listen to our episodes. You know, some of it is just the hearing your own voice. But there have been two things that have come back to me. One is also on the topic of sharing personal details. I once said something about, I think we were talking about genealogy, and I talked about, like, everybody has that uncle who's really into genealogy. And my husband's first cousin sent me a text, and she was like, are you talking about my dad? Like, oh no, I forgot who listens to this. Amelia, I promise I was not talking about your dad. But there's been a real, there's an area of inconsistency in my, it's not in my Jewish practice, it's in, like, what I want to hear from the Bima. And when I think back on certain episodes, I think I've been really inconsistent about the role of politics and current events and how I want to see that discussed from the Bima. So I remember talking about, like, in some very early episode, like, I want my rabbi to be talking about Torah and text and spirituality. That was where I was coming from in 2015, 2014. And I think since the 2016 election and some burgeoning sense of everything is political. I've shared in one of our politics episodes, like, I do want something to be said from the Bima, and I want some sense of engagement. But I don't want it to be a particular, like, too much. Anyway, so I'm cringing even as I talk about it, because I'm so inconsistent in what I want.
But I think that's such a, like, it's hard to be consistent because it's a really hard job. I mean, I have also feel like I've swung in a bunch of different ways on this, but ultimately, like, the reason it's hard for us to articulate it is because our needs and desires change and our communities are diverse. And sometimes we want, like, our nice heavy text, like, here's what it says and here's what some people think about it and here's the questions that I have and here's how they were answered. And sometimes we want to hear, like, this thing happened and it's very upsetting because of this Jewish value that we have in this week's portion. And if you're feeling this way about it, I'm also feeling that way about it. And if you're feeling this other way about it, have you considered this? Like, those are both, I think, reasonable. I mean, and obviously there's a million other ways to write a Dvar Torah, but, like, it makes sense that what you want is, like, a hard needle to thread, because it's a hard job. Yeah. It's a really hard job.
And I think on that point, Tamar, like, I haven't gone back and listened to old episodes, but I wonder what I've said about the role of rabbi and the job of rabbi. And I think one thing in the past decade that I have really come to respect isn't even the word, to recognize, is what an incredibly hard job it is to be a congregational rabbi. and that that role deserves a lot of not only like respect, but just a lot of grace, because you are not going to please everybody and you've got a lot of different hats to wear.
I'm curious. I know that obviously COVID was like a really big issue in all of our lives in a lot of big and small ways. And we talked about COVID a fair amount when we were hanging out at home for lengthy periods of time. And I'm really curious, like, what ways you see changes in your Jewish life and in your community since COVID, and how you feel about those changes, if there are things that are like positive additions to your life or your communal life, or things that feel less positive.
You know, sometimes it's really hard for me to think about how my life has changed since COVID, because when COVID started, I had a 6-month-old. And so a lot of the changes that have happened since COVID have also just been the changes of parenting. I think the main thing that I notice in my Jewish communal life that has changed is also a big change of parenting, which is an increasing focus on the people in my proximal community. I think before COVID / before kids, I would go kind of all over the Boston metro area for different Jewish experiences. And that felt enriching, exciting, normal. And now it's like, oh my, you want me to go to Brookline? For real? After 5? No way. I'm not crossing the river. And even like there's an amazingly vibrant shul that is a 45-minute walk, and I'm just not going to do it. So I think like this desire for things to be closer has then also given me this sort of, again, speaking about like grace and humility. No community is going to always be like the hottest thing. And those are the choices that I'm making. Like I'm choosing to be deeply rooted in this place with all of its people, with all of its like craziness around shul politics or whatever it is. And for me and my family, I think finding a lot of like joy and beauty in digging deep in one place rather than traveling all over.
Just a broader question this time, because, you know, we've been doing this for so long and we have a little bit of a routine, and, you know, we sign on and we know our setup, and doesn't mean we don't still flub some of the tech, but what has most surprised you about doing the show over the years? Or if you look back, like what's a surprising recollection?
I remember there was a time when we were doing, I guess when we were doing 3 topics, or maybe it was always just 2. And we went through a time where we invited quite a lot of guests on. And, you know, sometimes the guests would ask, like, so how many people are listening to this podcast? And we're like, we have no idea. But somehow that never stopped anybody from joining the podcast. And even like some relatively high profile people doing super cool things. We're like, yeah, I'll come talk on your podcast and pull up my old Skype login. And so
we recorded on Skype for so long. Yes. Like, we were maybe the last users of Skype.
So I guess like one of the pleasant surprises for me of doing this has been all of the cool people we've gotten to talk to, and, you know, asking for like advanced copies of books or access to certain movies. I think there's been this like sense that, I don't know, everybody does, not everybody, but many people like actually do. They just want to come on and talk about their thing, and they want to be asked for their recommendations. And if you ask them for a login to their movie, they're going to give it to you. I've loved that access.
Yeah. It is. It has been surprising to me, too, how much access we've gotten. I'm like, oh, that's nice. But I think people like talking about this stuff.
For a while, I think maybe because of our interview with Zoe Lister-Jones about the movie Band-Aid, I was just on a general reviewer list for screeners for all new Amazon Prime things. I don't know. Did you both get screener access to so much Amazon Prime stuff? Oh, that was amazing.
We have like another couple of minutes before we have to move on to me being in the hot seat. So are there any like past favorite topics or discussions that you have, Mimi?
Let's see. Yes, definitely. Certainly one of my most favorite episodes was when we invited the poet Hila Ratzabi on and we talked about Jewish poetry. There's something, Tamar and Zahava, you both often will recommend poetry and you always seem somehow to like have access to the world of poetry, but I don't, and, or didn't. And one thing I noticed while we were recording that episode is that there's a place of calm and imagery that you can settle into when somebody is reciting poetry to you or when you're reciting poetry. And I don't know, I found in myself, like, I feel like I tapped into a slightly different voice for myself when we were recording that episode. That was kind of revelatory for me, and it has, in some ways, sent me on a bit of a poetry journey myself. So that was a really beautiful one. Yeah, there have been, honestly, so many different episode topics that I just love, and I love to throw them in when I'm talking to somebody, like, oh, well, you know, like, you liked Shiva, baby. Well, you should check. Actually, we did an episode about that.
I am not one of the people who liked Shiva, baby. No.
No, you did not. You did not. I think I also hate loved it, but.
Yeah, same. I had complicated feelings about it.
Well, Tamar, are you ready for your turn?
I am ready. My tush has been iced, so.
Tamar, you have for the past decade really like been our fearless leader, keeping us on this, and for probably a few years doing the editing yourself. And I'm just curious, like, when we started podcasting in general and Jewish podcasts in particular, it's a different place in our culture. And now, I mean, I feel like even podcasts are kind of a punchline, like every three dudes have a podcast. So I'm just curious from
but
you.
But nobody says that about every three ladies.
That's true. How do you feel about being a part of the podcasting scene?
I really have loved doing the podcast. I definitely never anticipated it being something that would happen for a decade. I definitely did not anticipate it being something that like would be really just us. Like there's a very little bit of support that we have gotten from David's V for the past couple of years, but like really almost not at all, which is not to say that we're not grateful to him, but just like he has been a lot less involved. In the beginning, he was like doing a lot of the heavy lifting, and then He really hasn't in a long time. And I don't think I could have foreseen that I would like be able to do the things, you know, all of the things that I have done for the podcast. But I love having the skills that I have learned, like, you know, audio editing and just like knowing to, on some level, how to produce a podcast. And also I've really appreciated that it has given me this space, like Zahava said, this kind of pseudo Shabbat table to have these conversations, which I just definitely didn't think that it was going to be that for me when it started. And so all of that has been cool. But also, like, I felt very proud in the, like, you know, the days when, like, Serial was, like, such a big deal and everybody was like, podcasts, they are so good. I was like, I've had a podcast for years. recently, I mentioned something about my podcast to a good friend. And he was like, you have a podcast? And I was like, wow, it's so crazy that we can be really close friends and, like, you don't know this about me. And he was like, how many episodes have you done? And I was like, almost 100. So that, yeah, it does feel like a badge of honor. And it has felt like a good push for me both to, like, you know, speak a little bit more like a Zahava Stadler and think about how to represent my ideas in a way that might be fun and interesting to listen to. So yeah, there's been, for me, it's been definitely a learning experience. Definitely those first few episodes that I edited, I'm like, I don't know what they sounded like. And I will never know. but it's been really, really fun to do this.
And, you know, I, for one, am super grateful, Tamar, that is something that you did for so long. And I think at the time I didn't know enough to appreciate it as much as you deserved in terms of just, like, how much work it really was. So just thank you for that. And we would never have gotten this far without the amount of way additional time you put in over and above the actual recordings and prep time that I was investing. And I'm curious to think about, you know, we have talked about so many kinds of things on this show. And I, you know, in preparation for today's conversation, I was looking back through our archive a little, and there are certain things that I don't even remember talking about. Oh, movies totally. That I barely remember watching. But what, looking back over the last decade, do you think are the features of a good topic? Like, what makes something good fodder for a podcast discussion in a roundtable group like ours?
Okay. One is, it has to be not just extremely bad. Like, I think there have been a few times when we talked about something and we didn't realize until we had agreed to read something or watch something or listen to something, and we were like, oh, this is just not very good. And I don't really like to, like, you know, everybody's working their hardest to make things. And so I don't like the idea of being someone who goes to a public place to, like, rip things to shreds. But it's kind of like, well, if we watched it and we hated it, we kind of have to say some level of that. Longtime listeners will know I usually don't hold back about when I hate things. In the planning for this episode, I think Mimi suggested that I do a super cut of every time I had talked about something that I hate, which we won't not be doing, but it's not a short list. And I mean, there can be some kind of fun things about that, but it's actually, in general, a conversation is more interesting when you have, like, differing takes on things. I also think that something that one or more of us have a connection, like a personal in our lives connection to. So, you know, I think some of the conversations where we're talking about something more kind of conceptual were a little bit harder for us to plug into. So like we talked about the like Pew study of American Jews, and I don't remember that being like a particularly difficult topic, but that's the kind of thing where it's like, it's not going to touch any of us in a super close way. And so it can be a little bit hard to plug into like, what do we have to say and how does this play out in our lives? But I loved the ones where we really were all talking about like our experiences of things. I also loved the poetry episode, but like I loved at least once and maybe twice, I think twice, we did a like Seder episode where we each just like did a couple of rounds of like, here's a thing you could do with this part of your Seder. Here's a reading for this part of your Seder. And I really loved that. I loved, because it's like, I don't get to be at a Seder with either of you, but it was a little opportunity to get a very different view into what it would be like to be at a Seder with you, which I loved. And I found it sometimes difficult to have guests because, frankly, they were not always as comfortable podcasting. And sometimes I felt like the conversation, didn't really go anywhere. But we have had some guests. We've had Yael Kalman on a few times, who's just a fantastic guest, and Miriam Steinberg-Egeth a couple of times. Both of them are my friends, so maybe I just like podcasting with my friends. But I think like when we have somebody who is kind of already on some level one of us, then it's easier for us to like plug into a conversation. And I mean, this was not really asked to me, but something that I think that has been really special about this podcast is we have never, I believe, had a cis man as a guest on our podcast. I was pretty hardcore about that when we were looking at guests. And, you know, hashtag not all men. I love cis men, including the one I'm married to. But, you know, I also think it's really nice to have a space for women and non-binary folks. And it's been really lovely for me to have that with you all.
I'm curious, Tamar, to ask you the question that Zahava asked me. Is there anything you've said on the podcast that has come back up that you've thought, eek, shouldn't have said that, or somebody's quoted back to you?
Oh man, so many things. I mean, I will say, you may have noticed I don't have a problem sharing my opinion emphatically. And that means that I'm sometimes quite wrong. And when you're doing it on the podcast, you're very publicly wrong. So I definitely remember very early on, because I'm pretty sure this was an episode that we recorded in David Svi and Yael's apartment in West Philly. We did an episode about anti-Semitism. And I was basically like, not a thing anymore. Like, I was so dismissive of it. And I was wrong. I think it's like different. What it is now is very different than what I thought about when I thought about what anti-Semitism was at the time. But that is one that I have thought back to so many times, because I just like can hear myself in my head being like, anti-Semitism is not a real problem in this country. And and just like, it's not my best look. But
same, by the way. I have definitely thought back to that one. And actually, that is one of the few episodes where someone in my life reached out to say they were bothered. Like, she actually, I remember this person saying that she thought that if we had had a descendant of Holocaust survivors with us in the conversation, then it would have sounded different. And I mean, as it happens, I'm a descendant of Holocaust survivors.
And so am I.
Yeah. But it's interesting that neither of us made that central to the conversation. Also, this person had a grandmother who was in a concentration camp, which is a different kind of Holocaust experience, I think, than either of our forebears had. But still, like, that is one of the few times I have gotten direct upset feedback from someone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we all have bad takes in our lives, and that was definitely one of mine. A close friend of ours has introduced my family to something called the I Was Right dance, which is so often in life there is no real reward for being right. So if you have in your family the tradition of doing an I Was Right dance when you're right, you get to celebrate your rightness. And my daughter has innovated on this and introduced an I Was Wrong dance. Because sometimes, you know, you want to celebrate being wrong. So I will be and have been doing the I Was Wrong dance about my take on anti-Semitism from about 10 years ago.
That's interesting.
Well, I think we might have just a few more minutes, Tamar, to look back on your experience with the show. Is there anything that you think has changed in your Jewish life or observance because we've done the show together?
That's such a good question. I think my Jewish life has changed a lot in the last decade, partially because of having children. I had a stepkid already when we started, but my first foster daughter came to us within the first couple months of doing the podcast. So, you know, partially it's like parenting and in infants to now preteens has been, and late teens has been changed what it means to be Jewish for me. I don't know how much of that, but I would say less like my practice has changed and more my, kind of like what you said in the beginning, like I have just thought more deeply and widely about not only my Jewish practice, although certainly that, but what it means to be in my community and how to, you know, do a better job of that, find the kind of community that I need. You know, I remember we did an episode about burnout in Jewish community. And we basically did it because I was like, I'm so burnt out. I need to talk about it. And ultimately, I think what I got from that conversation is like, this is a you problem, Tamar. Like, you're burnt out because you're burning yourself out. And you could just not do that. And that's definitely a place where I had to kind of hear myself on the podcast in order to like get the message. I will say that like specific pieces of Torah that I've learned from both of you, I have brought to my Seder, you know, brought to my friends, talked about with others. And I don't know that they have like changed my practice in particular, but they have, you know, changed my thinking and opened my mind to new and different little pieces of Torah. I just wish I could hug you both.
Yeah.
We first started recording this podcast, like all sitting around a table, and we have recorded it in all sorts of weird situations, including once Mimi Lewis and I sat on my stepkid's bed to record it. I don't remember why I thought that was the best idea, why? But we did it. So it's sad that we knew each other the least when we started and we could hug, and we know each other the most now. And we're many hundreds of miles away from each other. We can't hug.
One day we should schedule an in-person Tish reunion at some point before too long.
Remember Yes, remember when we went to the Jofa Unconference together?
Yes.
Which was really fun, even though it did not work as a conference session at all. Like, yeah. They wanted us to do a live recording, and we had maybe two audience members.
Yeah. You guys but were we hung so out. Popular. We also had an in-person sign language interpreter. This is the only time that has happened to me.
I totally forgot that.
It was great. Thank you, Jofa, for having us. Oh, God. Okay, well, we have really dug deep. This has been so fun. I have learned things, and I have really, reminiscing is fun. And this has brought up all kinds of memories, including of that sign language interpreter that I hadn't thought about in a long time. So glad we had time to do this. Our next episode is going to be all about endorsements. So instead of a standard endorsement, we are now, as our final segment, going to go around and talk about an episode that we recommend going back to. So Mimi, do you want to hit it off?
Yeah. So I am going to recommend, looks like this is episode 74. We interviewed Dr. Rachel Gross about her book, Beyond the Synagogue, exploring Jewish nostalgia as religious practice. That was our first segment. Our second segment was our review of Shiva Baby. I've probably blocked out what did we all say about Shiva Baby, but I remember feeling ever so avant-garde that we had seen this like bizarre panic attack inducing movie film. And I just, you know, I think there are Jewish conversations about Judaism as religion, and there are conversations about Judaism as culture. And Dr. Gross's book was about bringing those two worlds together, and I really loved that conversation. So that's episode 74.
So Hava, what about you? What is an episode that you recommend people go back to?
Well, I have had a couple of favorite guest episodes that I go back to. The time we had Marcy Greenfield Simons on to talk about hospital chaplaincy from a Jewish perspective, and also the time that Rabbi Leora Kling Perkins came on to tell us what it's like to be on the rabbinic job market. So both of those were great. But I think in terms of a whole episode, and SoundCloud tells me that this was our 44th episode, we did an episode where the two segments were we each read a different memoir about leaving Orthodoxy and discussed that. And I read Shalom Dean's All Who Go Do Not Return. And then the second episode was about anti-Semitism and the Women's March and the controversy around Tamika Mallory and her support of Louis Farrakhan. And I remember especially appreciating some of the pieces that we read by Adam Serwer about that as a Black Jewish writer and thinker. And I think both of those were pretty heavy. Often in the days when we were doing two topics, we tried to balance like a heavier and a lighter. But I just think both of those topics gave us the opportunity to talk about things that we felt so powerfully about. Not necessarily things that we had super strongly held firm opinions about, but that inspired really powerful feelings. And I think that those were really great conversations. And I'm really glad that doing the podcast and having those conversations pushed me to do the reading for those, to read the book that I read, hear about the memoirs that each of you read, and to do so much reading and deep thinking in advance about that issue with the Women's March. To try and sift through my own tangled knot of emotion about it. And so I would definitely recommend that one, episode 44, Leaving Orthodoxy Memoirs and Anti-Semitism in the Women's March.
We already talked a little bit about the poetry episode with Hila Ratzabi, which is definitely one of my favorites. I have to admit, I'm not sure how well it works as a listener. But I loved having that conversation. I loved reading the poems and listening to, and you know, all of us discussing them together is really, it was so fun. And it really made my heart sing. So if that appeals to you even a tiny bit, I recommend that episode. Hopefully it is as fun to listen to as it was to record. But I would say the other one that I just think about all the time, one of the pieces of culture that we have kind of consumed as part of this podcast that has stuck with me the most and that I loved the most is the film The Women's Balcony,
right,
which is an Israeli film about some women at a Sephardi shul in Jerusalem who are, there's a new rabbi at their shul who wants to basically get rid of the women's section. And
well, the women's section collapses, right? But he refuses to prioritize rebuilding it.
Right. And it's about these women, you know, older Jewish women getting together to, and as part of this, he's kind of like wanting to make some changes, bigger picture changes to the community. And these women are pushing back against that. And I love that movie. It's just a very fun, very well done, beautifully put together, beautifully acted movie. And a thing that I think about with it all the time is that it is such a rare movie where a very common trope in movies is like somebody new comes to town and everything changes. And like, at first it feels bad, but actually it's good. And everybody learns to kind of adjust to the new person who's actually teaching them some new, better way to live and think about things or whatever. And I really appreciated that this movie pushed back against that and was like, no, sometimes new people come and they want to change things in a way that is not in accordance with your values. And it's okay to push back against that. And there's something joyful in coming together with people who you've known for a long time, who you share a lot of values with, and being like, this is what we stand for. And we don't want to be pushed around. I thought it was so, so well done and so fun to watch, and such a rare message of like, you don't have to change your religious life if it's serving you just because somebody suggests that you should. So that's one of my favorites. I believe it's episode 55.
This was such a fun opportunity to reflect back with you all. And it's just, I can't believe we've been doing this for a decade. It really is wild.
It's very funny, and has been such a, I guess I'm like still in like work mode, but I'm like, it's been such a value add to my life. Such a weirdly corporate way to say it. But it has, like, it has made my life so much richer and more fun and interesting. And I've learned so much from both of you. So what a wonderful surprise this experience has been.
And if any of our listeners have any memories or reflections of their own, there are some people who've been listening to the podcast for as long as we've been doing it, and some people are more recent but have gone back and dug through our archives. And so if anybody has any lookbacks or thoughts they want to share as we're closing this chapter together, we would really love to hear from you.
Yes. Yes, please let us know. The best way to get in touch with us is to email me, tamar.fox@gmail.com, and I will forward it on to the crew. Although if you know any of us personally, obviously just reach out. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, and thanks for Adina Karp for editing this show. If you have a minute, even though we're winding things up, it would be great if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We would also really appreciate it if you could make a donation to Jewish Public Media at jpmedia.co, which allows us to pay our last bills and make sure that you get your final episode in your feed very soon. Mimi, what a delight.
Thank you so much, Tamar.
Zahava, also a huge delight.
Thank you both. This has been really wonderful.
It has been so great. All right. We will see you all next month.